In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Just hear the first section of that gospel reading again. Then Peter came to Jesus and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times? Jesus said to Peter, I do not say to you seven times, but 70 times seven. Several years ago, I was teaching an adult membership class about the Lord's Prayer. And when we came to the petition, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us, one of the people in the class raised her hand and told a story of how she had been dealt with in the matter of forgiveness. She said that a few years earlier, she had been caring for an older woman and in the course of her work did something she should not have done. She went to the older woman and asked for forgiveness. The older woman listened carefully and then said, I'll forgive you this time, but not a second time. At this point in the story, I thought about Jesus' response to Peter's question about how many times he should forgive someone who sins against him. Peter must have thought that seven times was enough, but Jesus pushed the number to 70 times seven, obviously many more times than not a second time. I didn't say this to the woman, but rather allowed her to continue her story. She said that unfortunately, after a few months, she again did something for which she was ashamed, and although she felt the need again to ask for forgiveness, she was afraid because the older woman had told her that she would not forgive her a second time. Several days later, however, she couldn't live with herself, and so she braved the potential storm by saying to the woman, I know that you told me months ago that you would not forgive me a second time, but I must ask for your forgiveness again. She waited patiently for the response. The older woman looked at her and asked, What do you mean again? I forgave you for what you did before. That's wiped away, gone forever. We're starting over again. Of course I forgive you, but I won't a second time. Perhaps that's what Jesus had in mind when he increased the number for Peter from 7 to 70 times 7. In any case, who's counting? If forgiveness means wiping away the sin, then we're always back to 1. The point of Jesus' math here, in matters of forgiveness, he says, stop counting. Stop keeping track of the offenses and simply forgive. In other words, don't do the math. And how much more clearly can we see this than in his parable of the unforgiving servant? Jesus, in the reading you just heard, tells us about a king who is attempting to settle accounts with his servants, and in the process he comes across one whose account is short by 10,000 talents, an unimaginable sum of money in today's world, roughly equal to $2 billion plus dollars. Amazingly, the servant promised that he would make good on the debt if given some time. Yet the king took pity on him and forgave him the entire debt. And what did the servant do? He immediately went out and located someone who owed him $5,000 and demanded that he pay it immediately. That servant also asked for time to do this, but the first servant refused and had him thrown into debtor's prison until the total amount was worked off. When the word of this got to the king, he summoned the unforgiving servant and first castigated him for his lack of mercy, and then ordered that this servant be tortured until he would pay back the entire debt. And then Jesus said this is how my heavenly Father will treat you unless you forgive your brother or your sister from your heart. Jesus' point here? Our personal experience of God's forgiveness should shape our attitude of forgiveness toward others. And when you really think about it, do you want God doing the math on our sins? So why are we so quick at doing the math on others? And like it or not, when we live in close community, as we do here at this seminary, we find ourselves more often than not doing the math. Part of the problem is that we want justice when we've been hurt. That desire begins early, does it not? As children fight to hang on to toys in a nursery, or a woman attacks the person who scratched the paint on her new car, or a man feeds the gossip network to get back at someone who wronged him. It's the stuff of the office scramble. It's the vicious competition fostered in schools or colleges, or maybe even here at this seminary. It's a thing on which societies hang their hats or load their guns. Of course, many of the sins committed by others are not small or nitpicky things. Society has and continues to suffer from things such as ethnic cleansing. Untold individuals have been abused physically, emotionally, and sexually. Justice needs to be served against the offenders. However, only when we meet Jesus, only when we see that he suffered the greatest injustice of all by taking our sins on himself, do we find something greater than mere justice. Only then can we go beyond the vindictiveness that Jesus speaks against in his parable in order to love with the grace of mercy. That's not easy. Forgiveness never is. Forgiveness is also more than just saying to people who've sinned against us, "Ah, shucks, think nothing about it." Forgiveness, genuine forgiveness, does not deny or gloss over sin. It refuses, however, to allow the sin to control or determine the future. Forgiveness is the only way to move beyond the past, through the present, and into the future. There's a scene in Disney's Lion King where Simba, the story's hero, is crippled by his belief that he caused his father's death. This belief prevents him from taking his rightful place in the circle of life. The ape, who serves as the priestly figure in the story, hits Simba with a stick a couple of times, and the annoyed Simba asks why the ape keeps hitting him. And the priestly ape simply replies, "What does it matter? It's in the past." 7 times, or 70 times 7, our forgiven sins are in the past. Our focus, yours and mine, needs to be on the present and the future, for that's where Christians always live, not in the past, but in the present and the future. Remember this also. Forgiveness is not something we do for ourselves. It's God's act of love shown most clearly to us in the cross and resurrection. And it's our act of love to others. How desperately we need God's forgiving love. That forgiving love shows us how committed our God is to our life together in community, this community, and the community we call a Christian church. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.